The 2019-2020 session of the Wisconsin Legislature is now entering its fifth month, and it's been an active conversation. It's the first session since 2010 in which the Republican majority in the legislature has to work with a Democratic governor, with the election of Tony Evers over eight-year incumbent Scott Walker last fall. The Joint Committee on Finance has been considering the governor's budget proposal, and last week voted to strip out dozens of items that were in the Governor Evers' proposal. We'll talk about the budget process and other legislation affecting Western Wisconsin this hour as part of our legislative update today on the West Side. Good morning, I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is a show we tried to do last week, but due to technical problems, we weren't able to capture the signal for our stations from our Eau Claire studios. Fortunately, both of our guests were generous enough to agree to return today for this important conversation. Our guests today are 25th District State Senator Janet Bewley of Mason. Senator Bewley represents the northwesternmost district in the Senate, which includes the counties of Barron, Washburn, Bayfield, Ashland, Douglas, Price, and Iron, as well as portions of Burnett, Polk, St. Croix, and Dunn counties. She serves also as the Assistant Minority Leader in the Senate. Senator Bewley, thanks for joining us today.
Well, it is my pleasure, Dean. It's always great to talk with you and your listeners.
30th District Assembly Representative Shannon Zimmerman of River Falls also joins us. He represents portions of St. Croix and Pierce counties, including the cities of Hudson and River Falls. He's the only member of the Joint Finance Committee from here in the northwestern quarter of the state. Representative Zimmerman, good to talk to you this morning.
Great to talk to you as well, Dean, and good morning to all of your listeners.
We have lots of questions for our legislators, but we have room for yours as well. Are there aspects of the budget that you are particularly interested in? Did you like the cuts made by Joint Finance last week, or would you prefer the governor's budget proposal? Call us with your questions, comments, and opinions at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. For those who may not be intimately aware of Wisconsin's budget process, I'd like to set the table a little bit. And Representative Zimmerman, we'll start with you. You're the one member of the Joint Finance Committee from the northern and western quadrant of the state. The governor establishes the budget and then gives it to Joint Finance. Talk about the process the committee goes through then as it relates to this two-year budget plan.
You bet, Dean. So you've really set the stage perfectly. The governor does prepare a budget proposal. It is an array of different both financial, fiscal, as well as you mentioned earlier, he had added a number of policy items within there. But the process is fairly straightforward. So the joint committee and finance travels the state. We go to multiple locations. In this particular cycle, we visited four locations, one of which was in River Falls. So I was glad to be able to help influence that a little bit, making sure that at least the West was heard. I probably in a perfect world would have liked to hit a few other stops, but this is an opportunity where both groups and area citizens, our neighbors, are able to show up and provide testimony, providing their perspective, their input on the budget proposal or their needs as well. I know for myself, and I'm sure a number of my colleagues, we also hold town halls, and this is an effort to try and, again, derive more information from our constituents and so forth. But we will now, as a body, as a committee, begin the process of walking through each budget category and, weighing in, if you will, by way of our votes, to tailor and craft a revised budget that we will send it back to the governor or send back to the legislature in hopes for approval and then on to the governor as well. So the process in a perfect world, I think will is slated to finish by the end of June. Mm-hmm. We know that is always subject to a bit of change.
Yeah. Senator Bewley, your party is still in the minority in the legislature, but a Democrat is now in the governor's office. So with that in mind, how does this state budget and its process so far compare with other budgets considered during the time you've been in office?
Well, I would say that in the past years, when there is a Republican governor, far fewer changes are made, obviously, to the document, and indeed they work from that document. So in this case, the governor has proposed a budget and it will. They have already removed about 131 items from it, but now they will go and they will start from base, and that's a different process. They have the governor's budget, which with the items removed, but they go to base, and base is what has already been in place. What are they, the budget that they're operating from now? And they will begin with that. Now, I think it's important to note that that is a Republican document. That is the Scott Walker budget from the last 8 years. And they are starting from there, referring, I hope, to the items that the governor has proposed, but they don't have to. Let's put it that way. So I believe that we are going to have to work harder. We are going to have to do everything we can to make sure that the people who elected the governor, Tony Evers, continue to have their voices heard. They elected him for a reason, with a mandate to do certain things, which he did in his budget. And now it is up to the people to make sure that Joint Finance follows through on that. I would like to point out that Joint Finance can go anywhere they want in the state to conduct their hearings, and they chose not to come north. And so we did have listening sessions of my own throughout the northern area that I represent, the largest district in the state, and did the best that I could to give the people a chance to have their voices heard. But I point out it was not the official process. The official process is testimony to Joint Finance, and they were denied that opportunity. So we have to work harder to make sure Joint Finance pays attention to the majority of the people in the state.
That's the voice of Senator Janet Buley. We're also speaking with Representative Shannon Zimmerman. It's our legislative update on the west side here in western Wisconsin, looking at what's happening in the state legislature as it affects us. The budget, of course, biennial budget being the big topic of conversation. Representative Zimmerman, the governor, did base his budget on what he heard at various listening sessions he held around the state. As Senator Buley said, Joint Finance did hold four official public listening sessions around the state in April, including one 4 weeks ago today in River Falls. Hundreds of people turned out to give spoken and written testimony at those. How does the public hearing, or how does hearing public testimony influence the Joint Finance Committee and how it responds to the budget proposals?
Well, first of all, you know, input comes from a variety of sources. Those public hearings are certainly incredibly valuable to us in the process. As I mentioned at the start of this this call, we, in addition to that, will host town halls. Representatives across the state, senators across the state, I'm certain are all doing that as well. And so this is one of many ways that we do obtain input. And I want to comment just for a second because, you know, Senator Buley makes a good point in the sense that, you know, I guess I wouldn't have presented that there was to bypass certain state, not the case. Myself personally, I would agree. I wish we certainly were to more locations. But always, and, you know, there's only so many places.
Representative Zimmerman, we're getting a pretty significant breakup on your line. If you could just repeat that last part a little bit again, that'd be helpful.
You bet. I apologize again. Driving on 94, but no, it's a valuable part of the process. In short, but it is one part of the input process that we follow.
Senator Buley, did you attend any of the official hearings, and if so, what did you hear during those sessions, or the sessions that you held in your district?
I did not attend any of the hearings in the other areas, but at the ones that I held, it was consistently about health care. It is about health care and Medicaid expansion. That was loud and clear at all of the listening sessions that I held, and I held about five of them. They also are very concerned about transportation. And I think that they are concerned by the cold shoulder. Again, you know, the only official hearings, and those are official hearings, public, cameras, everything, were not in the northern part of the state. And the governor was consistently in the northern part of the state, that the northern third of the state, why can we not convince the majority in the legislature that we exist? It is a rather consistent problem that we've had for 8 years. And even now, with a Democratic governor and with a very clear mandate, you would think that there would have been, okay, now we're going to prove to them we're going to go in the north. And they still didn't schedule a hearing in the north. So maybe they didn't want to, maybe they knew what they were going to hear and they didn't want to hear it. But, you know, we have our work to do.
Before we go to break, Representative Zimmerman, I'll let you respond to that. But why couldn't Joint Finance have put together a few more hearings and represented more locations around the state?
Well, I am not part of the process in terms of selection of locations. But what I will say is I don't want to have it be a miscategorization here. Everybody matters. Everybody matters in this state. And undoubtedly, due to time constraints, you couldn't possibly hit them all. But I want to make a very important point. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that prohibits people from contacting their senators and or their representatives and making certain that they are heard. I speak for myself on this. You know, on a very regular basis, weekly, twice a week, we go through constituent activities and so forth, as I'm sure the senator does as well. So, you know, it is impossible to cover everything. That was not the intent, I assure you. But there's a variety of ways that people can make certain that their voices are heard and that we know what's on their mind.
We're going to dive into some of the edits that Joint Finance made to the governor's budget proposal. We'll do that right after this break. It's our legislative update here on the West Side. We're visiting with two legislators who represent parts of West Central Wisconsin, Representative Shannon Zimmerman of River Falls and Senator Janet Bewley of Mason. Are there issues you want to make sure get a hearing in the legislature, and how will divided government affect us here in this part of the state? Is health care a big issue to you? You can join the conversation at 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Public Radio is pleased to welcome Iron Boy and friends to the Pablo Center at the Confluence May 18th. Mazawak Pahaxala is an original Native American drum group with unique vocals that embodies the heartbeat of Mother Earth. The Baziki Culture and Dance Company will engage the audience with intricate stories and traditional dance and songs. Music, dance, and the unexpected. It's Iron Boy and Friends at 7:30, Saturday, May 18th, in the Jamf Theater of the Pablo Center. More at pablocenter.org.
Support for WPR comes from Bratfest 2019, a charity event with live music, food, and fun. May 24th through the 26th at Alliance Center in Madison. Presented by Johnsonville, produced by Metcalf Markets. Bratfest.com. Support also comes from Wisconsin Indian Head Technical College with the Nonprofit Leadership Program, a fully online program dedicated to help grow nonprofit organizations. WITC.edu/nonprofit.
Coming up next week on the West Side, we talk about the approach of Homeless Week in Eau Claire. That's when college students are forced to move out of their apartments during finals week, even before graduation ceremonies. We'll look into the recent trend for Western Wisconsinites as well to rent their living space rather than buying a home. That's a week from today on the West Side. Today, it's our regular legislative update. Our guest lawmakers today are Janet Bewley, the state senator from Mason, and Shannon Zimmerman, the assembly representative from River Falls. So let's move forward. For those who aren't aware of it, on Thursday, the Budget Writing Committee voted for the first time. The big story was the vote that the Republican chairs of the Joint Finance Committee said was designed to remove all non-fiscal items from the governor's budget proposal, including the expansion of Medicaid. But the governor says the Medicaid expansion is very much a fiscal issue in that it would free up $320 million in state funding over 2 years, allowing the state to invest in other things. Representative Zimmerman, what is your party's objection to accepting the federal money that 36 other states already accept?
Well, first of all, the money, I've heard this term, it's free money. There's no such thing as free money. And we've got two distinct issues here. So first of all, one of which relates to health care coverage. And I think that there's been some misinformation in the subject, proposing over 80,000 people are without care, when in fact the number is closer to 40, and of those, they fully qualify for coverage from the exchange. So it's not necessarily a coverage issue. So it comes down to the federal dollars. And the thing about the $300+ million is that, number one, from a long-term sustainability standpoint, you're building budgets atop something that is not assured nor guaranteed, in particular when we look at other federal programs which are expected to actually run out of money in the next decade. These are not necessarily good decisions. And, you know, what it really would do is it's an expansion of the welfare program. Don't forget, of those states, there's an array of data also that suggests, take Arizona, for example, by expanding, they would later find out their expenses actually jumped dramatically. Hospital emergency department visits rose over 300% because it was like, well, I've got Medicaid, I can go in there, and I can get, you know, my services in that manner. The problem at the end of the day is that it's not sustainable because Medicaid reimbursement rates pay far less than private insurance. The result is these hospitals and care centers end up earning less money, and so they have to offset those losses somewhere else, and it drives up the cost of health care everywhere else. I said this during the committee hearing. I agree. We have an issue and a challenge with health care, no doubt about it. But my feeling strongly is that rather than simply throwing more of our neighbors' money at it, let's get to the root of some of these issues and resolve these things so that we can actually attack the cost structure itself rather than simply paying more money for these services.
Senator Buley, what's your response to Republican legislators like Representative Zimmerman who argue that expanding Medicaid to supplement Badger Care in Wisconsin would come with unexpected costs down the road and would increase insurance costs in the private market?
Well, I think that the evidence is that it does not. You can pick one state, but overall, that has not borne out, nor have the projections for the state of Wisconsin not anticipated that they would go up. I believe the figure is that they could be reduced by as much as 17%. Also, we have already paid this money. This is money that the expansion money came from federal taxes, which we've paid, and we continue to pay. That money is there to be redistributed to the states that agree to the expansion. And the majority, two-thirds of the states, have done so. So why would Republican states with Republican legislators and Republican governors have agreed now that this is something worthwhile? And we in the state of Wisconsin, we're the holdouts. It's not that we won't accept it. It's that we refuse to go along with the common knowledge that we must do something about health care. And if, in fact, health care is a priority for my colleagues across the aisle, we had years of Republican leadership that did nothing, proposed nothing, and continued to see health care. And now, with the problem of addiction and mental health becoming epidemic, crisis, in the northern part of the state, we still see nothing but no, nothing but not this way, when the rest of the country is doing something about it and taking the money that we have, it's our money, and our state is refusing. This attitude of no, 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 while people are suffering, we have a solution. Let's just do it.
Senator Buley, the governor has pledged to fight like hell for Medicaid expansion. But what can he do if the legislature doesn't include it in the budget they present for him to sign?
Well, he can veto it. He can veto the whole thing. He can veto parts of it. He has the power to do so. We have the votes to uphold his decision. And so ultimately, he has the power to say no. I would hope that Republicans would recognize the desire that is there to compromise, the desire that is there to communicate. So far, the leadership of both the Assembly and the Senate have dug in and and said, no, if they would just be willing to talk, it could begin. But the firmness of their decision to deny what the rest of the country and what the people of the state of Wisconsin want. They voted in a new governor. They said no to Scott Walker. And the legislature does not want to recognize that.
Representative Zimmerman, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, in a release last week after the vote on Thursday, said, by rejecting so many aspects of the governor's budget proposal, with Medicaid expansion being at the top, the Republicans, especially those like you on Joint Finance, are once again ignoring the people and their voices. What's your message to those who feel that way about the vote of Joint Finance last week?
You know, first of all, let's put things in perspective here. There is no question that we have a new governor and that we do need to work together. And in the leading up to the budget proposal process, I'm personally aware of many conversations that happened between Senate and Assembly leadership and the governor, all intending to set the stage for some common ground. And then the budget proposal comes out, and there's an array of divisive things in there. There's an array of non-fiscal items in there that all had to be dealt with. So I think that it sounds very nice to work together, and I think we should, but then we really have to, is really my point. The people we hear from, there are people absolutely that are certainly for this quote-unquote free money, and there are also an array of people who like the current position that Wisconsin is in. Let's not forget, we have managed a budget process over the past a few budgets where we, and based on an exceptional economy right now, low unemployment rate, we generated a surplus. And the point about saying no, well, as a body, we tried to spend nearly $400 million of tax. And so, look, I sometimes, this is my first term on Joint Finance, and I come from the private sector with a business background for over two decades. I think we do need to operate and engage much more like we do in private sector business. But this state is a state where there's a lot of ideas and there's a lot of feelings, and some of which are going to be in favor and some of which are not going to be for the expansion of Medicaid. I will always err and gravitate towards fiscal prudence. We need to make sure we've got to have money this cycle for education, for transportation, as Senator Buley indicated, and that can't be built on a house of cards. You know, my last point on this, federal monies. In 2008, our nation, sadly, was $10 trillion in debt. Today, it's over $22 trillion in debt. Just because they've been doing a bad thing, we can't further exacerbate that issue. We, at some point, as a state and as a nation, have to look in the mirror and say, we've got to start to manage our checkbooks just like we do at home. We can't always get everything, and we've got to be mindful for the future of not only our kids, but our grandkids as well.
As we often do on the West Side, we're bringing in a couple of legislators who represent us here in Western Wisconsin to get a legislative update. The big topic today is the state budget. You're not limited to that. If you'd like to call and ask a question or make a comment, 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. And we do have a caller. Vern is joining us from Wilson. Vern, welcome to the West Side.
Well, thanks, Dean. Good to be on. Okay, you legislators, let me tell you something. Northern Wisconsin has been neglected since I was a kid 76 years ago. They would let a child out here starve in the town of Wilson. Same with Fairchild. Same with Chippewa County. Now, as for getting a free lunch, I'll tell you what. When I got out of the Vietnam War, the only thing I could get in the 70s and 80s was Medicaid. I couldn't get my VA benefits. Medicaid kept me alive. Okay? I earned it. Now, if we had manual labor jobs, instead of shipping our jobs to China and every place else overseas, we'd have Social Security taxes. And we'd have taxes to pay our incomes. If we went to back to manual labor in factories instead of going to universities and learn to be a sociologist, we'd have money.
Vern, let me just check in. So are you in support of the Medicaid expansion being proposed by the governor?
They have to run it more efficiently. They got to get rid of some of the layers of bureaucrats in between.
Okay. Thank you much for calling in today. Representative Zimmerman, I'm hearing from Vern. This sort of, Medicaid was very important in his life, and yet he's still a little concerned about its management. Is that an opinion that you see or hear or have heard in your testimony before Joint Finance at all?
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to thank Vern for his service and his commitment to this nation. Number one, I want to make that point. If you listen to the manner in which Vern answered your question, it actually embodies and represents this whole issue. The hesitation, the reluctance, while on one hand he recognizes clearly there's a need, and I'm with you, I agree there is a need, but he also paused and then commented on some of the inefficiency of this, which is exactly correct. Look, there are alternatives. The private exchange, in fact, in the southeastern part of Wisconsin right now, Milwaukee area, those going on the exchange and who fall between the 100 and 138% of poverty level, they have monthly premiums on the silver plan of 18 cents with a $50 deductible. In the Eau Claire area, that goes up a bit, more closer to $15 per month. So there's options available which address Vern's concern that people do need this. But he also, in his answer, clearly, you know, demonstrates the challenges that go along with this. Government rarely runs anything efficiently. Look around. And so I believe, as I said at the start of this, we've got to solve this problem. Throwing more money at it doesn't do it. The way we solve it is once and for all attacking the cost structure of health care. And Senator Buley, I know you mentioned that Republicans have been in power for a long time in the state of Wisconsin. I can't speak to those things. This is my second term in office. As I said, I'm probably the least political guy in that capital. But I think that this can be resolved. When we have pharmaceutical products that literally cost $100 in one city and you drive 20 minutes and they're $500 for the same product, that's wrong, and we have legislation now to address those sort of things that I'm a co-sponsor of, and I think that we can do those sort of things to help resolve our issues rather than simply just throwing more money at it.
Senator Buley, a response to that. I'm curious, you know, we do have indeed a federal program for helping people with their insurance. Do we need more than that to get us, do we need this Medicaid expansion when indeed we have that in place?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the things that he talked about was the example of just how inexpensive it could be. I think that that is an indication of some success that we have to work towards. But I also want to point out that we're talking about the great recovery when, in fact, the people that were poor before are poorer and there are more of them. They are working poor. Now, we can celebrate the economy, but talk about a house of cards built upon the kind of debt that my colleague just mentioned in the nation. That is a house of cards built upon unacceptable layers of profit that are exceeding anything that is ethical. Pharmaceutical companies now are being sued including by the state of Wisconsin for the immoral price fixing that has been going on, and that is our private sector. That's what happens. We need to have some basic humanity in how we allow the private sector to profit so consistently without the kinds of accountability that they need. Yes, Medicare can be run better. Medicaid can be run better. Everything can be run. I can do my job better, and I'll always try to. But I cannot imagine a more unstable house of cards than the one that we are seeing built consistently in our country and in our state. And yet we are reluctant to accept a Medicaid expansion which helps the poorest people in our state, and we still say no to it.
There's a lot more to this budget than Medicaid, and we want to get into some of those issues. You both have leadership roles within your parties. Representative Zimmerman, as we mentioned, you're one of just a few legislators who's shaping the budget that goes to the governor for his signature as part of joint finance. Senator Buley, you're the assistant leader for the minority party in the Senate. But setting those statewide roles aside for a bit, what aspects of the budget mean the most to your constituents? And let's start with Senator Buley. By geography, you represent the 25th Senate District. It's one of the largest Senate districts in the state by geography, including all of Barron, Washburn, Douglas, Bayfield, Ashland, Iron, and Price counties, and even portions of Burnett, Polk, St. Croix, and Dunn counties. So as you think about your constituents, and you've had these listening sessions around the state, setting aside Medicaid, which sounds like is one of those important issues, which provisions in Governor Evers' budget proposal would be especially important for the district you represent?
I would say in education, it's sparsity aid. I hope that that remains in the education budget. It's exceedingly important for the low-spending but high-tax value districts. I have a lot of K-12s. The K-12 is not a lot of people know what they are. They're common in the North. It is a school district that consists entirely of one building, with all of the grades in one building, because we have had to consolidate school districts and, you know, we have high transportation costs. So it is expensive to educate students in these K-12 schools, and yet many of them have revenue caps that will not allow them to exceed the revenue limit. There was a 2% allowable increase. That was one of the things that was stripped out. The other thing, of course, is, as I said, is transportation. And just the fact that we must fix our roads. We can't continue to welcome visitors, let alone allow our logging and dairy and other industries have truck access when they need it. And then that is followed quickly by what's going on with the meth epidemic, with the overcrowding of our jails, the inability to get people to trial quickly enough. These are all very, very, very serious concerns. So that those are the things that I heard the most.
Thank you, Senator Buley. And Representative Zimmerman, even though you and Senator Buley are both representing the northwestern part of Wisconsin, you, by contrast, represent one of the more densely populated assembly districts in western Wisconsin, which includes portions of St. Croix and Pierce counties, including the cities of River Falls and Hudson. Your entire district, as a matter of fact, is considered part of the Twin Cities metro area. So what is your district hoping for from this budget? What really stands out as something that your constituents are talking to you about?
Three things, primarily in the most pronounced way. Number one, education. Education is intrinsically tied to one of our greatest needs in the state of Wisconsin right now, which is workforce. I actually have begun labeling it as a crisis. In the state, if we do not fill our vacant jobs, we will have greater challenges in the road ahead, because employers will have to become resourceful. Hello?
Hello, Representative Zimmerman. I hear you. I'm not sure why I'm getting a busy signal elsewhere. Are you still there? Representative Zimmerman, are you there? All right. We seem to have lost both of our legislators, so seems like a good time to take a break. We are talking with Representative Shannon Zimmerman of River Falls and Senator Janet Buley of Mason. Are there issues you want to make sure get a hearing in the legislature? How will divided government affect us here in this part of the state? You can join that conversation at 800-228-5615. It's the West Side on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kallenbach.
My name's Jack Freehill. I live in Sauk City, Wisconsin. We go to Arizona for the wintertime, and a voice sounded familiar to me. They said, "This is Wisconsin Public Radio's To the Best of Our Knowledge." And I sat there, and I just got this warm glow. And that led me to put Wisconsin Public Radio in my will. It's just become home.
For more information about including WPR in your estate plan, visit WPRlegacy.org.
Support for WPR comes from Oakwood Village, Prairie Ridge, dedicated to building community, announcing their campus expansion, growing to serve the Madison area. Information on the expansion is available at oakwoodvillage.net.
Select restaurants in Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, Lake Halley, Jim Falls, Lake Wissota, and Bloomer will donate 25% of your bill to the Open Door Clinic on Thursday, May 16th. Details online at chippewaopendoor.org.
The
Back on the West Side, coming up at 11, Larry Mueller talks with a couple of scientists about the fossils that are found in Wisconsin and what it tells us about life on this land we call home before there were people here. That's Larry Mueller at 11 on the Ideas Network. Here on the West Side, we're back with Assembly Representative Shannon Zimmerman and State Senator Janet Bewley as we look at issues affecting Wisconsin, Western Wisconsin, from the perspective of the state legislature. And I need to tell our producers, I've not been successful at getting Representative Zimmerman back on the line. So if you could please try calling him. We do have Senator Bewley, though, have returned and apparently ran into some cell phone problems, which can be a factor here in northwestern Wisconsin, right? Senator
right.
Bewley,
well, yeah. I'm back.
Yeah, good to have you. And hopefully we'll get Representative Zimmerman back on shortly. I did want to take a look at one particular issue. The governor calls for an 8 cent per gallon increase in our gas tax to help fund the transportation budget and a return to indexing the gas tax to have it automatically rise with inflation. So, Senator Bewley, the gas tax is a regressive tax. It really doesn't change no matter the financial means of the person at the pump. Doesn't a gas tax hike and indexing hit poor people harder than the wealthy?
Well, yeah, it does. And I wish that there was a way that we could find a gas tax that would somehow be fair, but I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. I do know that the gas tax should have been indexed, and therefore it's not, and it hasn't been. And so trying to increase it at a rate that would be a little more fair is going to look cruel if we did it now. But I do know we absolutely must get revenue. Tolling, I don't believe tolling is the answer. I think that we could increase the sales tax, but that's not probably going to get enough money.
Oh, and we lost them both, I'm afraid. We lost both of our guests again. And that's on me. I pushed the wrong button, and we dropped them off. If we can get them both back on, that would be appreciated. Thank you so much. Anyway, we're talking with these individuals on what's going on with the state legislature. And we've been focusing on the budget, but you're certainly welcome to call with other aspects of this that are critical to what we're doing. 800-228-5615. We'd like to hear your opinion. 800-228-5615. If you want to talk about budget, if you want to talk about some of the other things that the legislature has been looking at, including bills on abortion, which are due up this week. And there's also some interesting new legislation having to do with driving while intoxicated. It's come up as part of our new series, which began today, called High Performance, which our news department and our talk department are both focusing on, trying to find out what's going on with drinking in our state from a variety of aspects. But there is some legislation that seems to have a chance to pass because it has some Republican backing and it has the backing of the governor. And hopefully we can get a chance to talk about that in a little bit as well. Again, that number to call to join the call as we try to bring our legislators back online is 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. And again, our focus here is on issues that are important to you, issues you want to hear these legislators comment on, answer about. So we actually need to get our legislators back on if we can. 800-228-5615 is the number if you want to call to make a comment. So let's bring Tim online. Tim is calling from Ladysmith. Tim, I don't have the legislators yet, but let's bring you on if we can. Tim, go ahead.
Premise. Secondly, regarding the one senator's comments about helping the poor,
Tim,
poor Wisconsin
just,
already
Tim,
have phenomenal
Tim,
health care through Badger Care.
Tim, just
it's
a moment.
Middle
Tim.
Class that pretty much are paying for everything and can't afford health care. That's a real issue.
Tim, can I have you start over? We didn't have you up yet when you started your comment. Can you repeat that, please?
Oh, sure. I guess the Evers campaign ran on the campaign message that the reason the roads weren't fixed is because of Scott Walker and poor fiscal management. But as soon as she took office, suddenly the reason we all of a sudden we got to raise taxes. And that's not fixing roads. That's just gouging people with taxes. And so it really obviously it wasn't Scott Walker's fault if suddenly we have to raise our gas tax to pay for our roads. Secondly, the issue about health care, I heard the senators mention that they wanted to help the poorest of the poor, and I'm all for that. But the poor in Wisconsin already have great health coverage through Badger Care. It's the middle class that basically are taking it on the chin with cost of health care. So it's not the poor people in Wisconsin that can't afford health care because Badger Care covers them, and it's fantastic coverage. It's the middle class that can't afford health coverage, really, is the issue.
All right.
So that was just my two cents. Thank
all right.
you.
I appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. I believe we have Senator Bewley back. Senator Bewley? Senator Bewley, are you on?
Hello?
Oh, hi.
I'm here.
We've got you. Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay.
No, we're juggling,
it's probably on my end.
Juggling telephones.
I want to thank the caller for commenting about about Badger Care and how good it is, because Badger Care is Medicaid. Badger Care is what we want to expand for those people who are a little bit better off than simply poor. It is the people who are slightly above the poverty level. That's exactly what we want to do, is give that group of people the access to the very, very good coverage that they have with Badger Care.
All right. Thank you much. We're still efforting getting Representative Zimmerman back on the air.
Okay.
And we apologize for that to folks. Let's move to some of these other policy issues that had been in the budget that were removed by Joint Finance. And one of those is medical marijuana, legalizing marijuana for medical reasons. Are you concerned about that being eliminated from the budget, Senator Bewley?
Well, I think that that's something that we are going to eventually get passed. And the way it gets passed is to bring it up with some consistency so that we get the public to respond and have them let our legislators know what they want. Right now, it might not be its time. Certainly, I am not in favor of legalizing recreational marijuana at this point, but I do think that eventually we will see medical marijuana find a way to be allowed in our state. And it's interesting because I'm hearing from so many seniors who are suffering from the illnesses involved with aging and with cancer. And the palliative help from medical marijuana is well known, and I think eventually we'll get to that.
Representative Zimmerman, I believe we've got you back on the line, and I asked Senator Bewley to comment on the medical marijuana aspect of the governor's budget that was removed. Would you care to comment on that and the reasoning behind it?
I think that that's another example. It's just a great example of things that probably shouldn't be in the budget. This is a subject that is very important. It is a subject that people weigh in on both sides of the fence. I'm hearing Senator Bewley speak there. I, too, have publicly, you know, expressed a willingness to certainly explore the medical benefits and consideration there. And that requires great collaboration and conversation. And the way that happens is through the bill process, the budget process, and we get people to provide testimony in committees, and the state can be heard. But this is too important to place directly in the budget. Rather, it needs to follow a traditional bill process.
When we have divided government like we do, though, is there a chance that a Republican-led legislature is going to forward a bill on medical marijuana to the governor for signature outside of the budget process?
I think there's always a chance, and I want to simplify it this way.
Sure.
Healthcare, love, things that we need as human beings, they do not know party lines. They do not know, gender, color. These are, when we talk about any form of medication that may help those in need, those suffering from cancer, You know, that's a subject that impacts us all. And so my simple answer back is yes. I think that there is always a possibility because these sort of topics are not just exclusive to a certain political party. Rather, they're specific to us all as human beings.
Before asking this next question, I want to disclose that I am, as a Wisconsin Public Radio employee, an employee of the University of Wisconsin system. Well, with that said, the governor has proposed a 2% across-the-board pay raise for state employees in both years of the budget. Representative Zimmerman, where does that stand right now?
Well, first of all, you know, I, too, am a strong supporter of all levels of education because it ties to our workforce. You know, sadly, when I got dropped, one of the points I was going to make there relates to the absolute dire situation we have right now in terms of filling our jobs. So education is a huge part of that. You know, in the Western District that I represent, and I'm sure Senator Bewley may be able to speak similarly, it's competitive. It's competitive at all levels, not just certainly at the university. It's competitive in the private sector. Wages are rising. I know I've talked to companies where they've had to increase their wages by sometimes upwards of 10% to compete with demand right now. So why should we think that maybe state employees or the university is any different? They're facing the same challenges that we are facing in the private sector. So that's a subject as we move into the budget process that I cautiously am optimistic that we can find good middle ground and make sure that we are competing effectively for the great educational talent.
Senator Bewley, as Representative Zimmerman said, the economy is really chugging along in Wisconsin with very low unemployment rates. And a market-driven increase in wages. The budget proposal by the governor would have repealed the right-to-work law and raised the minimum wage to $10.50 an hour over the next 4 years. Do we really need that? Those parts did not survive last week's vote by joint finance. Representative Bewley, why would we need to increase minimum wage and right-to-work in this state of affairs where people aren't having trouble finding high-paying jobs?
Well, because I think people are having trouble finding high-paying jobs. If you are in an area that is still suffering from the recession, the effects statistically of the any improved economy is not being felt there. For example, everybody is proud of Wisconsin's tourist economy, yet the tourist economy is known. It's notorious for low pay and seasonal employment with no benefits. That takes a terrible toll on families in the north. We do not have the kind of high-paying jobs that are dominant in the other parts of the state. We are not seeing wages rising. So people are not necessarily being paid well. They are underpaid and multi-jobbed. They have many jobs. They patch together what makes it work. It usually involves all people that could potentially work in a family are working, but they're not making enough money to make ends meet. So we need to make sure that we look at the entire state and at all of the people and realize that if we want to lift up our economy, we have to start by lifting up everybody and not just the ones who can go from a good-paying job to a well-paying job. We need to get the people who are being paid badly to at least being paid a living wage.
There is a floor vote scheduled for this week in the Assembly on a package of anti-abortion bills. The most talked-about one is one in which health care providers would need to work to save babies born alive as a result of a botched abortion. The other bills would restrict the use of Medicaid to fund abortions, would require providers to tell women having drug-induced abortions that the baby could still be saved after taking the first dose, and would prohibit abortions based on the sex, race, or defects of a fetus. Senator Bewley, where do you stand on those bills?
Well, first of all, these bills are the desire of the pro-life movement to have us be talking about terribly private decisions that are made but are still the right of the woman to make. The circumstances under which they are talking are either extremely rare or non-existent and have laws in place that already cover them. So this is a desire to get people to talk about the very painful descriptions of abortion without really having the need to do so. We have laws in place. We have doctors that have taken the Hippocratic Oath to preserve life. I don't know why I do know why. They want to limit the access to a constitutionally protected health care provision for women.
Representative Zimmerman, Governor Evers has promised to veto all four bills if they reach his desk, these ones relating to abortion. What is the impetus for these bills, and where do you stand on them? And then can they survive a court test, even if they pass?
Well, when you think for a moment about the subjects that we're describing here, they're virtually unthinkable. They're that heinous, right? But the sad truth these days is that they become thinkable as they've passed in certain states. And this is a human being that we're talking about here. And you know, abortions, very sadly, happen most often for just, you know, reasons of convenience and choice. And I find it incredibly difficult to turn my back on those children, those human beings. When we get in these debates, oftentimes it's like, well, at what week is it a human? I mean, we're down to that level now. So, look, you know, I would love to believe that these bills are not necessary. That would be wonderful if we didn't have to actually live in a world where that is possible, but sadly it is. And so, you know, my obligation, my moral belief for me personally, not for everybody, but is that I will fight for life.
We appreciate both Representative Shannon Zimmerman, who you just heard there, and State Senator Janet Buley for joining us today here on the West Side. Thank you both for coming in today. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Dean. Thank you.
Catherine Thomas produced today's show with on-air production help from Mort Cypress and also help from Rich Kramer and Liz Domes. Thanks to Kate Spranger for her assistance with publicity. Join us next week on the West Side when we talk about the trend in western Wisconsin to rent housing rather than buying homes, and we'll also explore the practice of some landlords in Eau Claire to kick college students out of their homes even before they graduate. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Thanks for joining us on the West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.